Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Today on the Zabecast, Magic Johnson drops the mic on Jeannie Buss and the Lakers. Was it an understandable decision to jump ship on the sinking SS LeBron? Or was it another chapter in Magic quittery? Notorious J-A-Y and I report, you decide. We got Masters Par 3, Jay's final four thoughts, and maybe the sickest bug-related story I've ever heard. Bonus 1% me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Nolan Richardson, one-time coach of the Arkansas Razorback men's basketball program, had a defense that had a nickname called 40 Minutes of Hell. Our next guest is going to give us 40 minutes of radio hell. You know him, of course, as Jay Cottrell. Let's give Jay a call right now. Notorious J-A-Y. The hell did he go here? Oh, yeah. Scrolling through on my phone. Good preparation there, Zabe. Give or take 40 minutes. Might go longer, might go shorter. We'll see.
Hello.
40 minutes of hell. That's what I'm describing your segment as. An homage to the great Nolan Richardson. You like that?
Is he the late? No, he's still with us, right? Yeah.
I'd have to look that one up.
No, he's still with us. He's still with us. Yes,
okay.
He's still with us.
All right, yes. Well. I made so many mistakes yesterday on the golf podcast, I don't even know where to begin. Let me crank your music up, Jay. I wish you could hear it. I gotta say this song, Notorious, by Duran. It's a good song.
Not even in the top five of best songs ever.
Okay. You ready to go on that?
The reflex... Oh, wait, the reflex.
Okay.
Girls on film. Planet
Rio.
Earth. Rio, thank you. Please tell me now, is there something I should know? Five best Duran Duran songs.
Bing,
there you go.
Bang, boom.
There you go.
And that's why Jay brings you 40 minutes of hell. Okay, we got a lot to get to today. I mean,
Before we get started,
what do you got?
I was mailing. I had a lot of time to kill because we're sending out end of session letters, and I was stuffing envelopes. And I listened to you and Andy Pollin. Can I take great indifference to something Andy Pollin said?
Indifference or great umbrage? I think if you took great indifference,
umbrage.
You wouldn't.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you took
umbrage.
Great indifference, you wouldn't even bring it up. You'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't
umbrage.
Care about it. Indifference.
Yeah, take the umbrage. Get the umbrage. Show the umbrage. I don't even know what umbrage is. I'm going to look up umbrage right now while you talk. Okay, what is it?
Dear Andy Pollin, nobody gives two rats' asses about UCLA basketball anymore. He said they were blue blood.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
Yeah, he harkens back to the day, though. And I think a lot of UCLA supporters still think, hey, we're still the shit in basketball.
You haven't been the shit since the... The O'Bannon brothers were there. That's it. Ty Sedney.
And
that was 1995.
And that was fleeting success under Jim Herrick.
Yes. So
just like they had fleeting success under my guy Ben Howland, but didn't cut the nets down.
who, by the way, gave one of the worst interviews on your show. He was in bed and doing the interview, and it was one of the, I remember that, because you were like, he couldn't even fucking get up and stand up for the interview. I remember that.
Ben Howland did that?
Yes, yes.
You know, Ben and I go back a long ways. I would ride in his van on road trips when he was an assistant under Jerry Pym at UC Santa Barbara, the Harvard of the West, driving from Salt Lake City up to Logan, Utah, to play Utah State in the snow. And he couldn't get out of bed for my interview? What a dick.
I remember he literally was lying in bed during the interview, and it sounded like it.
How do you know he was lying in bed? Did he admit that?
I think he did. And I told you, and he was like, and I remember your words were, he couldn't even fucking get up. Yes, he did tell me.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Was Jamie Dixon on that staff too? Aren't they buddies? Aren't they?
Yes.
The cradle of coaches.
Yeah.
UC Santa Barbara.
We've produced a few. Produced a few, to be sure.
All right. I'm sorry, but okay. Let's get to it. Sorry, but yeah, UCLA. Is so not relevant right now. It hasn't been in 30 years.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. While we're doing some mop ups here, and this doesn't necessarily pertain to you, but I want to get it out of the way. This email was sent to me by Chad Misovic. He said, "Hey Zabe, let me preface this by saying I'm a big fan of the podcast, and I freaking love the Masters. It's a highlight of the year for me. I was expecting great things out of you and your guests on yesterday's show. Well, no offense, but it just sucked. You guys were all over the place, talking all over each other, starting to talk about something, then interrupting and going off topic. I'm obviously not in the business, but I don't understand why you don't go over a list of topics for like 10 minutes together ahead of time, and then each hit on a topic and then move on to the next one. Is that just not how it works? You can still be spontaneous and authentic within that framework. Just saying, Chad in Green Bay. Chad, I got one thing to say to you. You are 100% correct. I felt that way after we were done recording that because I spent all my time, Jay, hustling to get these guys together. Like, hey, can you meet? I think I can get in. I'll get down to your hitting bay at 1 and I'll set up and I'm getting my equipment. Hey, Rhodes, can you come? Okay, now we got 3. We can do it. And I just thought because we're all golf nerds, we'd be able to wing it. It didn't come off. We were disorganized. We didn't have a plan of action. We didn't even have our fucking facts straight. Rhodes committed like 3 double bogeys on certain things that he swore was the case. Oh, yeah. Francesco Molinari, he won twice. He won a congressional. And I was like, I don't think so about that. So, Chad, thank you for keeping us honest. It's exactly how I felt. Didn't feel good about it. Good news is, Jay, like baseball, in podcasting, tomorrow...
You have another day.
Tomorrow's another game. So, with that said, I actually have here, Jay, a list of things I want to run by you, including Magic and the Lakers, celebrity GMs, the Masters, WrestleMania, a blackjack video that you must see to believe, a New York Post story about... Michael Smith of ESPN, bees in your eyes, Juju versus AB, Anthony Davis's t-shirt choice, and a rousing rendition of Fuck That Guy when it's all said and done.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right, let's start with Magic Johnson. Go.
Magic Johnson is the Magic Johnson of quitters.
Oh.
Can we go back and look at his dossier?
Let's do it.
After he came back from AIDS... He quit the team.
He didn't quit the team.
He kind of retired.
Magic never had AIDS, Jay. He had the
HIV.
HIV virus, which all of us mispronounce because it's the HIV virus.
Okay. So then he became coach. He quit coaching.
Okay.
He's like, I don't feel this. He had the magic hour. Remember that?
Yes. Well, did he quit or was it canceled?
Yes, he quit. Nope. He quit. He's like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore.
Okay.
He then quit ESPN.
Did he quit over the Bill Simmons spat?
No. It's funny because today listening, I heard Bill Simmons says there was no spat. Magic just quit.
Oh, okay.
And so
there's a track record of him quitting.
He's the Magic Johnson of quitting. Hmm. Really good. I love Magic the guy, Magic the GM. I mean, he's too rich. Why does he need to do this? He's too rich.
Well, he wasn't doing all the heavy lifting. That's why Rob Pelinka was there to do the heavy lifting and the scouting and the dirty, grimy, musty gyms of the world to find the great talent that's perhaps hidden. In theory, that's what it was. Magic said him being involved was going to help bring free agents to L.A.
That didn't work.
No. In fact, they didn't even get a meeting with Paul George. And Paul George is from that area, as you like to say. By the way, Jay introduced the word area, spelled with a U,
yes,
to our lexicon.
Yes.
Is that a
how you say area.
Is that a Baltimore thing?
No, it's a Baltimore and PG County thing.
Area. Oh, area, right.
Yeah. The DMV area.
Right. Yes, so Paul George is from that area. And remember the Lakers, Jay, had this big video presentation all ready for him?
Yeah, how'd that work out? He never watched it.
They never got to it. Yeah, it's bad. But I defended Magic today on my show for this reason.
Why? Yes. By the way, can you remember Rob Pelinka's one shining moment of his college career?
No, he played at Michigan, right?
Michigan. He missed the shot when Michigan played Duke in that early season game. Rob Pelinka could have hit a three to tie it and missed it. That's his one shining moment.
Okay.
He was, as you like to say, the GPA raiser.
The guy that looks good on the balance sheet of are we still above the academic progress line? Which they never had the APR. The academic progress report where they made schools, you know, float above a certain GPA. Because remember there was the year, Jay, that I think Cincinnati under Bob Huggins
had the worst. Yes, it was Kenyon Martin team. Yes,
worst GPA. I literally think it was a Blutarski 0.0.
It was. If it wasn't zero, it was one.
So you say to me, how can you defend Magic Johnson?
Yes, he didn't want to do the work.
All right.
He didn't understand that, you know what, you may have to go to Australia to watch some league game. That's what the good GMs do.
Oh, he may have, yeah. He didn't want to do the work. And he may have quit because he wanted to tweet, which would be one of the most insane things ever if that really was a driving force of, God, I really wanted to tweet congratulations to Russell Westbrook when he went for 20, 20, and 20, which is really 20, 21, and 20, but who's being particular?
Who wants facts? That's not facts getting away.
And that if you're going to quit a job like that, important job, well-paying job that people are counting on you to deliver glory back to the Lakers, and you quit because you wanted a tweet, well, that's pretty fucking weak. All that said, Jay, you want a defense of Magic Johnson? I'll give it to you. Two words. You ready? Two words only. La and Bron. Oh! Boom! There you go. There's the defense of Magic quitting.
There's a lot of shit that comes with LeBron. You got to deal with Rich Paul, who, by the way, may have killed their season by his engineering the Anthony Davis. Because after that, all the other players were like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I don't want to play with, yeah.
Every other player was like, fuck. Bro. Yeah. I can imagine the locker room, right? LeBron is yet to show up at the arena for pregame shoot-around. The entire rest of the Lakers are in the locker room, and they're like quietly leaning in going, hey, were you mentioning these trades for Anthony Davis? Yeah. So was I. Hey, what about you? And they turn to their left, turn to their right. Pretty soon the whole team finds out every fucking one of us was mentioned in one of these rumors for Anthony Davis.
So who wants to play for him then? So, okay, you might, that might be the one defense, LeBron.
I mean, look at what LeBron has left in Cleveland. Nobody's paying attention because the caravan moves on, the dogs bark, and nobody cares, right? It's Cleveland. Cleveland is a fucking disaster. Cleveland is like Chernobyl of the NBA. There are three-eyed fish and glowing rivers left in Cleveland because of the contracts that LeBron and his boys forced down the throats of Cavaliers management for guys like Tristan Thompson, who suck.
Can you name three players on the Cavaliers?
Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, and...
isn't he hurt?
And Jerome Smith.
You made that up.
Tyrone Brown. Again. Jerome Smith, Tyrone Brown... And wait a minute.
Try one more time. Okay. That's two strikes.
Jerome Smith, Tyrone Brown, and Reggie Johnson. Oh, there it is. All three stereotypical black guy names, first and last. I got it.
And sadly, none of those people play for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
No, I can look it up, but who cares? Does it matter, really?
No, but I didn't know.
Anyway, so wherever
in his wake. Yes.
Wherever LeBron goes, disaster follows. And with great power comes great responsibility. LeBron has great power. So it was LeBron's responsibility to help rally the guys they did have this year and to be, you know, responsible for whatever happened to the season. He played his ass off. Give him that. Before he got hurt, they were in pretty good shape. And for the season, his totals, his numbers, Jay, were very good. It was like 27-8 and change. But everything else was a fucking disaster. His teammates didn't trust him. Once he got hurt, he was not hanging out with them. His coach hated him because his coach knew, Luke knew that he was working to get him fired. LeBron would show up to games with a glass of wine in his hands. You know, it's not really inspiring shit right there. That's all I'm saying.
And this is why I'm not a LeBron fan. Well, you know what? Well, we don't know if Jordan did this because the age of the media was different.
Well, but I'm glad you bring up Jordan. Jordan didn't do this because even though Jordan was a far bigger, I think, pop culture icon than LeBron, is that a true statement? He was.
Yes.
Okay. Right, because now LeBron is sort of like a manufactured pop culture icon.
Yes.
Like sports fans know LeBron and some non-sports fans know LeBron, but everybody
knew who Michael Jordan was.
Right, your grandma doesn't even like basketball. Might be a closet racist. Oh, I love that Michael Jordan. Shut up, Mom. You keep yelling out the window, there's black people at my door.
Can you believe that he can't? There's rumors that Space Jam 2 might not happen because nobody wants to play with LeBron. Have you heard those rumors?
Is that a rumor or is that a ha-ha funny?
I have heard those rumors.
So that's like real. To me, it sounds like a joke stemming off of the fact they can't get anybody to go to L.A. to play with them. They can't get a fake Space Jam roster together because nobody wants in on the movie.
I don't see why it couldn't be true.
You know what? Maybe it is true. Who knows? So Magic said, fuck this. I have a good life being Magic Johnson. I'm out. And it would have been the only thing that would have been funnier as he stunned the media in L.A. with this surprise announcement and stunned Jeannie Buss. The only thing funnier, Jay, would have been to have a little pop-up video of Psy from Duck Dynasty going, he gone. He gone. Magic gone. So do you think it was bullshit he didn't tell Jeannie Buss?
I can't. What did he say? She's my sister. She's like my little sister.
He said I couldn't tell her because if I did, I wouldn't be here. She would have talked me into staying. Interesting logic.
Well, that's actually good logic if you really. And by the way, do you think he decided yesterday morning?
Oh, no.
I don't want to do this anymore.
No, I think if you went into LeBron, if you went into Magic's office, he had a big calendar with X's on it and a sign that said, days until I can quit, and it was a running number. People are like, okay. Hey, Magic, what's this calendar here? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I think Magic is the kind of guy who woke up and said, I don't want to do this anymore, because he quits everything.
Well, yes, he quits a lot of things. Does he quit business? He's done well in business, right?
He's done very well in business, yes.
Are the Magic Johnson Theaters still going strong?
Doesn't he own Starbucks, too? Or is his other Starbucks? Or TGI Fridays. I think it's TGI Fridays. Yeah.
Here's the thing, Jay. I just like Magic. I like him. I'll always like him. I'm a sucker for a smile. I know that he has failed at and quit at a lot of things. I had some emails from people. One email from Brian McQuestion up in Milwaukee ripped me a new one saying, man, you are such a sucker. How about him having anal orgies, giving his wife the HIV virus?
Oh, my God.
Well?
Okay.
How do you think he got it? From a contaminated big gulp cup?
Oh, I know how he, I mean.
Oh, okay.
I know. But
you thought, you're like, wow, that's a little harsh, man.
Here's a hot take. Greatest living Laker?
He is Mr. Laker. Okay. Whoa. He's the most beloved Laker.
He's not the greatest Laker?
The most worshipped Laker is Kobe. Kobe!
I have friends who are big Kobe fans, and to tick them off, I always say, he's three. No, four on the list. Kobe. Magic, Kareem, Jerry West, then Kobe.
Here's what Brian McQuestion said about Magic. Oh, so you love Magic, Zabe? The asshole who threw his career away, threatened his life, humiliated his wife and family by contracting AIDS, by having unprotected anal sex with porn stars? I know, there's no proof. I just know. Plus, he never really apologized. I remember his appearance on The Tonight Show to tell everyone to make sure they use protection. You know, when fucking porn stars in the ass.
Dear Brian, you didn't live in L.A.
What's
in that time. I can't fault Magic for, sorry. He was 20 years old in L.A., hanging out with Dr. Jerry Buss, having the best women that any of us will ever even think about worship him. Sorry, I would have probably done it too.
What's next, writes Brian, talking about your love for Ray Lewis because he could play football, or what a great guy Michael Jackson was because he could sing and dance?
Oh, God.
I know, slightly different, given
a little bit different, yes.
Given that nobody died because of Magic.
Ray Lewis might have killed a guy, and Michael Jackson was a pedophile. A little bit different from a 20-year-old guy enjoying the best poontang in the world at age 20. A little bit different.
So Magic said he got the virus from having anal sex with female porn stars.
Never heard that one.
Did he ever
protect it? He never said anal sex. And I never heard that one. That's one I didn't hear. I'm not saying it's not true. I've never heard that account of the story.
You ever think he caught a genuine backdoor slider from some dude? Either.
Oh, God.
What?
You know who's,
it's a podcast, right? We can say anything.
I know. No, I'm laughing. But the person who probably would be the best if he ever decides to out Magic, or not out him, but tell the promiscuous tales, Arsenio Hall was around for all of this. And I'd love to hear the Arsenio Hall stories. Because Arsenio says everything Magic couldn't do, he would do. Whatever that means.
What do you mean he couldn't do?
He said Magic didn't like do drugs and act wild. This is what is it? On the documentary for Magic Johnson, Arsenio said everything Irvin couldn't do, I did for him.
By the
way, to hear.
Have you seen Magic cut up tapes on Twitter and YouTube of him just passing it over his head, around his back, through his legs? They're sick.
Yes.
They're like young Magic in the 80s, early 80s. Not the Magic that maybe younger viewers and listeners here remember of his last, 4 or 5 years, where he slowed down. He got to be a better shooter, but he was bigger, didn't run quite as much. Early Magic is fucking dazzling.
I saw 35 minutes, because I, like you, will watch anything on YouTube with stuff in the 80s.
Yes.
There is when Magic and Bird were in college. The college All-Stars used to play the pros, and there's clips of Larry and Magic doing like Harlem Globetrotters, just the two of them.
Really?
Like really good pros.
I gotta go check that out. I didn't know that they played together.
Yeah, I can't remember what they call it. It was college All-Stars versus whatever.
Right.
But it is, and they're playing like, oh, God, like Paul Pressey was on the NBA All-Star team.
Paul Pressey, great Milwaukee Buck.
Great Milwaukee Buck. Mm-hmm. But watching, it's like Irvin would pass to Larry, then Larry would throw the ball behind his back to Irvin, and then Irvin would go back to Larry. I was like, Jesus Christ, look at this. Yeah. So go look at that. But yeah, Irvin in the 80s.
Irvin.
There was nothing better on the break than Magic on the break.
Magic on the break, barreling down the lane, doing the dipsy-do, balls up
at
around.
6'9".
Right, 6'9", through his legs, and just dumping it off. And the best thing was Worthy. Worthy comes flying in like an F-16 jet, always filling the lane and just shoo, dunk.
Or the alley-oop, the Koopa Loop.
Koopa Loop! All right, well, I got to say this. Good luck, LeBron. Good luck bringing new – get a star to jump into this hot tub of dysfunction right now that is the Lakers.
I would say, L.A., you have one – two relevant sports teams, the Dodgers
and the Lakers
and the LA Rams.
I would say that the most talk you get on sports radio is Lakers 1, 60%, Dodgers 2, 25%. Everything else scraps for the remaining 15%.
That's true. That's very true.
That's what I would guess, but who knows? Okay, let's turn the page. Your thoughts on the Virginia Cavaliers as national champions?
Didn't want them to win because I always had sway over the Virginia fans. Being a Maryland fan, at least we won one. Yeah. But I like Tony Bennett, and I like Virginia because they play great defense. But will we ever hear of Texas Tech ever again? Because I heard Jim Nance, they're going to be here for a while. No, they're not.
No.
This is their one and done year.
Culver's going pro. I think they're going to lock up Beard for a while, but he will go eventually.
Who wants to go to Lubbock and play? Nobody.
Well, I mean, they got enough guys to play. I mean, I actually kind of fell in love with Texas Tech's team throughout the tournament. I was like, I fucking like these guys. They had a guy that could do everything. They kind of had one of those Ocean's 11 type teams where they had – each guy was a little different, you know. Owens was the pogo stick, like literally the skinniest, tallest guy ever that could dunk and block shots.
By the way, from Anne Arundel County.
Culver was the all-around star. You had Moretti, the foreign hired gun. He would have been the equivalent in Ocean's 11 of the gymnast who could like hide in a food service cart and sneak into the safe room.
Didn't speak a word of English, but everybody understood what he was saying.
Right. You had Mooney, the point guard, who, and this just blew me away. He's got a crew cut, right? But he had a part shaved into the side of his crew cut. Did you notice that?
I did not notice that.
Yeah.
Now I have to go back and look at pictures. Now.
Yeah. And he was the quintessential stereotypical white guy point guard. That you look at him and you go, he ain't shit. I can handle him. And then he goes out and you play him. You're like, fuck, that white boy was pretty good. He kind of knew what
Hurley,
he was doing.
Bobby Hurley-esque.
Yes, exactly. So I kind of fell in love with Virginia Tech, but I was Texas Tech, but I was very happy that Virginia won it for obvious reasons. My brother went to law school there. I'm from the Commonwealth. I got rejected at Virginia. Well, not smart enough. I was not wah-hoo-wah material, Jay. But my sister went there, and so I know I was very happy for her. That said, you want to chime in on the instant replay call on Moretti's fingertip?
Okay. I didn't get to talk to you about the Final Four.
Right. We didn't talk about the semis.
As someone who played for 4 years, played more than that, but played for 4 years in high school, coached high school, mm-hmm. I did not know about if the ball hits the double dribble rule. I was like, I didn't know that. And I felt stupid for not knowing that.
Wow. So you did not have that double dribble.
Did not have that in real time like everybody else.
Not everybody. Like, not everybody. A lot of people are claiming they did because they want to sound smart. I can sound stupid.
But
yeah.
That being said, that was one of the best games I've seen in a while.
It was something, man.
Yes.
It was something. And would you agree that the foul call was correct at the end of the game?
That one was much better than the Purdue call.
It was.
Because the guy, Edwards, kicked his leg out. That dude just went up and down, and then it let him come down. That was the correct call. But, and by the way, I hate, well, my FU guy is going to be about this, but I'll save it. I'll save it.
But did you not appreciate the kid for Auburn transfer? I'm looking for my notes here for his name. He said afterwards, he said, I'm not going to blame the refs. They're the best refs in college. That's why they're doing the Final Four. They don't tell me how to put the ball in the hoop, so I'm not going to tell them how to ref. He was a complete stud, I thought, in terms of owning up to it.
Unlike Samir Dowdy. Samir Dowdy.
Yeah, and his Jagoff teammates are walking out going, man, the Final Four needs new refs.
Yeah.
Oh, like fuck
Chris,
off.
Like Chris Webber and Michigan after the timeout in the Final Four, or the final game.
The timeout, which followed a travel that was not called.
Clear travel. Yeah.
Right.
By the way, Chris Webber still has not owned up to that. That's one thing I'll always hold over him.
Yeah.
Just say I fucked up. Anyway, but I was happy for Virginia because I like Tony Bennett. I do. I generally like Tony Bennett. Does he leave Virginia? There's
no
reason he ever leave. Yeah. He's got a cushy job now.
There's like four programs that are a step up. And maybe
Carolina,
not even
Duke,
that.
Kansas.
And Kentucky.
And none of those guys are leaving anytime soon.
Yeah. And I don't think he'd fit into the vibe at Kentucky, not what would they've had of recent vintage.
No.
Carolina,
he's too much of a good man.
Right, exactly. Carolina likes to hire within the family only. And Duke probably has Johnny Dawkins lined up. So, you know, Kansas would be the wild card, though. Kansas would be the wild card to look out for.
I'm praying, even though it's not going to happen, that Bill Self gets indicted and Kansas hires Mark Turgeon away from Maryland and buys him out. Because he's going to be here for three more years, and Maryland's going to be average to sucky as long as he's at the helm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Did you see the Michael Avenatti tweets about Zion and his mom?
Oh, shocking. What, Duke might? Really? I'm so shocked by that. Are we ever going to get to a point where somebody outs Krzyzewski as being a bigger cheater as everybody else?
It's like Duke's too big to fail.
At some point. We know Carolina had it with the grades. Duke has to have something with the classes that nobody showed up for and got all A's. Duke has to have something.
Didn't Chris Duhon's mom
get hooked up pretty sweet at
Duke?
Chris Duhon's mom and Carlos Boozer's dad, who got a cushy job, and if you looked at his resume, he was a truck driver. But somehow he got a six-figure job in Durham.
Yeah. Meanwhile, who was the player that wanted to go to Maryland? His mom worked at Maryland, and somehow they pushed him away, and he ended up at Penn State. Was he a football player? Oh, I can't remember who that was. It was almost like the reverse of Duke hooking up moms and dads with jobs to lure their kids to come to school. There is a Maryland kid who really wanted to play for the Terps, and they ended up pushing him out. Quarterback, black quarterback at Penn State. Think. Put your head to it. I'll look it up while we're talking.
Michael Robinson? That's the only Penn State quarterback who is black I can think of.
I know Rudy.
Well, there was the Rudy Gay situation, which is legendary.
Rudy Gay, who went to UConn and Jim Calhoun.
Have you heard that story?
He was supposedly ticketed for Maryland until,
yes.
Jay?
Well, Jim Calhoun scheduled an exhibition game with an AAU semi-pro team who also happened to have Rudy Gay on one of their youngest teams, and the game was for like $100,000. I wonder where that money ended up.
Go figure, huh?
Go figure. I don't know who this quarterback is now.
All right. I'll think of it. I wish the podcast was in real time. We'd have somebody text in right now. Instead, I'll get the answer tomorrow, and then by the time I talk to you next, it'll be too late.
And calling you and I idiots for not remembering.
Don't worry, though. Our mistake rate is not nearly as bad as One Account Rhodes' mistake rate was yesterday on the very disorganized and, frankly, disappointing Masters preview edition of the Zabecast. Okay.
All right.
Speaking of that, do you have a thought on the Masters?
It's funny. My cousin is at the Masters, and he was at the par three today.
Oh, cool.
And he was, yeah, and he, of course, could not text shots because you can't have your phone there.
No phones.
But he texted me later and said, this is, you got to do this once. I have no thoughts. I don't know. Well, I'm going to have to say, I think your guy, that's what I'm going to pick, Roy.
Okay.
Yeah, just cut. I have no thoughts on this.
So he loved the par three.
Loved it because he's staying in a house owned by some insurance executive. They're staying there for 4 days.
Wow. And he's your cousin?
My cousin, yeah.
He's
kind of well off.
May I ask a simple question about, is he black?
Yes, he's a very well off African American.
Okay.
Yes, we have a few of those in the family. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to use this right now. This is going to be a surprise.
Oh.
FTG in the middle of the show here. Don't worry, the show's not ending with Jay. I just got to get this in here. Stand by.
I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
Here's my fuck that guy. Andy Pollin emailed me an email from a guy by the name of Mitch Steen saying, Andy, I couldn't find Zabe's email, so I was hoping you could please forward this to him. Here's what Mitch wrote. Zabe, I'm guessing you feel as thrilled as I do that on this day every year you get to see children participating in the Masters Par 3 contest. It truly warms the heart to see kids born into families with 8 to 9 figure bank accounts being allowed onto the playing grounds of one of the most elitist clubs on earth. Much like the children of royalty in ancient Europe who were entertained on their birthday by teams of clowns, magicians, and pony handlers, these adorable kids who reside in mansions and attend private schools in the state tax-free of Florida must truly appreciate how lucky they are. Gee, just a few hours of coverage on ESPN? I wish there was a DVD I could order that shows extended coverage, maybe with Jim Nance on commentary. Steen, hey, bro. Occupy Wall Street's over, you fucknut. Get off your high horse of social justice. And by the way, I pointed out, oh yeah, how dare Tony Finau of Samoan and Fiji descent, born in Utah to working class parents, how dare he be at the par three contest? And his family, what an asshole, huh? Rory McIlroy's dad worked extra jobs to pay for his golf and his lessons. His mom took extra shifts at the 3M plant in Hollywood, Northern Ireland. Not exactly Brunei with oil sheiks in it. Dustin Johnson's parents divorced. His dad runs a company that puts decals on trucks. Was not rich. Damn near drugged himself to death before going to a junior college. Bubba Watson, 2-time winner of this event.
Taught himself
how to play with wiffle balls in Baghdad, fucking Florida. No rich enclave. His dad was a Green Beret in the Marines. Died of cancer. Fuck you, Mitch Steen. Oh, elitist this, elitist that. I'll give him this much. Phil Mickelson, he's an elitist 1% prick. Fuck him and his kids. Other than that, though, there's a lot of working class families that raise their kids, and they have a talent for golf, and they work their ass off to get here. So eat shit, buddy. The par three is great. Okay.
Eldridge Woods, his dad was not swimming in money.
Exactly. That's just a guy who's like, oh, all these Richie Riches prancing around. The par three contest, I'm glad your cousin went, and I'm glad he loved it. It's, you know, it can be a bit corny and syrupy when you listen to the announcers on TVG. I grant you that. But you're talking about, you know, 83-year-old legends still hitting the ball, even though they're tiny little par three holes like Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus, and not embarrassing themselves, you know? They're not.
I like it.
Topping it off the tee. There's something to be said for, holy shit, I went there and I stood 5 feet away from Jack fucking Nicklaus. Pretty cool.
I love it when one of those elitist kids, they're wearing the overalls,
yeah,
which they all look like they're three sizes too big, and they're running around the greens. You have no soul if you don't like that.
Exactly. It's old, it's young, it's generations bridging the gap, and you get hot girlfriends. You get the hot wags, Jay, the wives and girlfriends, caddying. And so to see Ricky Fowler's fiance, who's a former track athlete.
Oh, and if you, on a scale of 1 to 10, she's a 17.
You like Allison Stokey, don't you?
I saw pictures of her like 3 years ago.
Right.
Oh, my. She's a high jumper or a pole vaulter?
Looking her up right now. Allison Stokey is her name. Yeah, I think she is a former pole vaulter. Yep, there she is.
Yes.
Pole vaulter.
My God, is she gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I like Ricky Fowler.
I do
generally
too.
Like him.
He's a good guy. I hope he wins this week. Plus, the crowds.
Whatever happened to that little group that he and Bubba and
the Baker Bay Boys?
Who else? It was
Ricky, Spieth, Justin Thomas, and Smiley Kaufman. And
Yes,
it was.
They had like a rap group. It was.
You're talking about the. Bubba Watson with Ben Crane.
Ben Crane, yes.
I think they called themselves the Golf Boys or something like that.
That was actually funny and good. Yes. And I guess they ended 1-4. That was it.
But I just Googled it. The Golf Boys: Crane, Mahan, Watson, and Fowler. Oh. So Ricky was in that group, and they did some videos that were pretty funny. No, but there used to be the Baker Bay Boys. Remember Spring Break 2K17? Where Spieth and Fowler and Justin Thomas and Smiley Kaufman went on spring break at this resort down in Baker's Bay, Bahamas. And they did all these Instagram videos of them playing shirtless and barefoot, getting drunk. And it was great to see. You're like, look at these guys. They're just like us taking a golf trip, but they're PGA Tour stars. And they did it for 2 years, and then it sort of died down. You know what happened to that group, Jay? The saddest story ever, and it's been told for time immemorial.
They got married.
Exactly.
Yes.
JT went down. I think JT got... No, JT's not married yet. Kaufman got married. Spieth got married. Fowler is engaged. And I don't know about Justin Thomas, but yeah. Too bad. It's a pity. It was fun while it lasted. Okay, now that I got my FTG out of the way, let's go through some other stuff here. Juju versus AB. Go.
Okay, well, I was talking to a friend of this about 15 minutes before you called. Fuck AB, but.
But.
Juju Smith-Schuster, and I love him. He went to my favorite school. He plays for my favorite team. He was a great college player, very good pro player, not a number one wide receiver. And boy, is he going to find the sledding tough when he lines up. Because it lined up on the other side of Antonio Brown, getting all that single coverage. You look pretty good. It's not going to be pretty this year in Pittsburgh. I'm sorry.
It's like being Brad Pitt's wingman, thinking, man, the chicks fucking love me.
Brad's not here.
Yeah,
right. They don't like me anymore.
Right.
But he did take the high road. And by the way, Antonio Brown can't spell. I noticed that from his tweets. Terrible grammar. Terrible speller.
What of this generation of athlete under 30 actually knocks out grammatically correct, properly punctuated tweets or Instagram posts ever? Ever. Nobody.
I will say the 2%. But, well, did you happen to read?
You know what? The next time, this will be a bounty for any of our listeners. The next time you see a grammatically perfect tweet or Instagram text, send it our way, because I don't think it exists.
Okay, I will say I read an article in the Players Tribune, and for those listening who don't like race talk, now is the time to skip ahead or stop listening.
This is the Kyle Korver piece.
Yes. And I was like, Kyle Korver is a nice... If he wrote this and edited it himself, Kyle Korver is a nice writer. That was a good article.
He's finally woke.
Not woke. He just is like, hey, shit's going on. It's pretty. Shit's going on. As a white guy, I get some shit that black guys don't get. That's basically the article. I was like, wow, Kyle, thank you for bringing that up.
I quickly looked at it. It was TLDR, but I did look at it, and I guess he was saying that his teammate Tabo Cephalosha, who got his leg broken by the New York City PD, the New York City's finest, after a late night altercation or incident, I don't know what it was. Korver basically said, well, you know, if he had my skin color, he wouldn't have had his leg broke.
Right. And that I was like, wow, I love the aha moment sometimes. Like the time.
But do we know if that's true, though?
Like a time in Jacksonville where three of us walked into a store. Only one of us got, hey, sir, can we see your bag?
I know.
And it wasn't you or Scott.
I know.
That's all I'm saying.
I had shit hanging out my pockets and under my shirt. It was really embarrassing. I was stealing all kinds of stuff.
No, you weren't.
I'm just kidding. Well, okay, here's the only thing, though. I wasn't there that night when the cops went too far on Tabo. And they paid for it, right? They lost a civil judgment to Tabo Cephalosha.
He did sue. He was in New York, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But we don't know what kind of an asshole he might have been doing, or we don't know what instructions from the police he was ignoring that caused it to go off the rails. And there have been white guys who have had the shit beaten out of them, too, by cops when they weren't doing anything, quote unquote. I know. I'm throwing my hands up on this.
You know
what Kyle Korver's real privilege is, Jay?
Being handsome?
Handsome and shooting threes. Because the rest of his game is straight garbage. But because he can fill it up from three, he'll have a job in this league for a long fucking time.
Why do I not remember where Kyle Korver went to college?
I want to say Iowa State, but now I'm thinking Fred Hoiberg.
Fred Hoiberg, the mayor, went to Iowa State. I do not remember where Kyle Korver went.
Well, that's why the internet's open. He went to Creighton. Went to Creighton, the home of Wally Szczerbiak.
Wally Szczerbiak went to Ball State?
You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
I'm out hitting roads right now. That's all I'm happy about.
Wrong. Miami of Ohio.
Miami of Ohio. Okay. All right.
One of those Mac programs.
All right.
Oh, well, shit. Is Miami of Ohio on the Mac?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay. All right. So Juju versus Antonio Brown, that's done. Did you see Anthony Davis and the t-shirt he wore?
Yes.
For his final home game, it had in script letters, "That's all, folks."
That's all, folks.
In the exact theme of the childhood cartoons, Warner Brothers, that you and I used to watch on Saturday morning with our bowl of cereal, two feet in front of our television. Cartoons. That's all, folks. And afterwards, Anthony Davis claimed he didn't know. He had no idea that was the shirt he was going to wear. He has somebody lay out his clothes for him prior to each game.
Yeah, who the fuck is he? Stevie Wonder? Stevie Wonder has people do that for him. Anthony Davis. Yeah,
that's what he said. Here's how I rule it. If you're going to do that and stick your thumb in the eye of New Orleans, which they don't deserve, with a that's all, folks, okay, fine, just own it. Don't fucking lie about it. Like, my assistant laid out my clothes. I had no idea that was the shirt for today. That's how I rule it. How do you rule it?
That's bullshit. You knew. Stop it. Again, you're not Stevie Wonder. Nobody has to lay out your clothes because you're blind.
Okay.
No.
All right. Who was better, Paul Pierce or Dwayne Wade?
Dwayne Wade is one of the best two guards in the last 20 years.
You're asking me?
I heard that argument, and I first was like, no, and then he might have been the best in the one of the top four point guards in the last 20 years. Yes.
Apparently this argument bubbled up over the weekend.
Yes.
And apparently Gabby Union didn't like it.
Yes.
Said it was unfairly tearing down one over the other. I saw this thing bubbled up, and I quickly said on Twitter, I go, look, they're both really good. So I'm moving on. I got a lot of internet today because it's a debate I literally don't care about arguing. Like, to me, I go, Pierce was great. Wade was great. They're both great. I'm not going to differentiate the two. This is not Jordan versus LeBron. I don't need to settle this.
No, good point. But Dwayne Wade is better than Paul Pierce.
Okay. Dwayne Wade versus Dirk Nowitzki.
had this argument today also. I said Dirk Nowitzki because he opened up the doors for, he was the first European, not the first. The first European that was really, really good was Dragan Petrovic. But Dirk, didn't he bring in the stretch four?
Well, he did. He really kind of did bring in that concept. And he won a championship. And he drove better than Dragan Petrovic. Oh, man, you asshole. Did you just say that, Zabe? About him driving?
Oh, yeah. That's not good. Dirk has still never played a lick of defense, but...
let somebody else play that. He was a scorer. Neither did Dominique. They liked him. Well, I don't know about better. You're kind of making the argument that Dirk was more important from a global standpoint.
Yeah. He's more important than Dwayne. Is he better than Dwayne Wade?
All I know is this.
Both Hall of Famers. Both have won. Won championships. Even though Dwayne Wade has won more.
Right.
Oh, God.
Here's the thing. I liked them both. Like I said today on my show, I go, I never once disliked either guy. And at some point with every big-time star athlete, you just roll your eyes and go, oh, fuck this guy. But I never said that with either Dwayne Wade or Dirk. So,
both love black women.
They did, and Dirk almost got scammed by one black woman.
He's married to a black chick.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Who? I was looking up the girl Crystal something that was his fiance, and then she claimed to be pregnant, and I forget what happened after that. He married her?
He's married to some black chick.
Okay. By the way, Dragan Petrovic played for the New Jersey Nets from
and Portland Trail Blazers
from Yugoslavia.
Yugoslavia, yes.
Died in a car crash
on the
Autobahn.
Yes.
Yeah. In Denkendorf, Germany, at the age of 28. He was 6'5", but played like a point guard.
Did you watch the 30 for 30 with him and Vlade?
No.
What?
Sorry. I haven't seen every 30 for 30, man.
It's called Like Brothers. They talked about how the Yugoslavian team that they played on. But Vladdy's telling stories about Draven. And I can't do a Vlade Divac, but I'll try. Like, yes, I heard about him. I heard in one game he scored 100 points. I'm like, what? Yeah. Yeah, he was sick. Yes.
Yeah. Petrovic was a passenger in a car that was cut off by a semi-truck on the Autobahn. So he wasn't even driving crazily, which is how Jerome Brown died. May he rest in peace, Philadelphia Eagle.
He wrapped around a pole, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That was bad. Okay, real quick, before we get to your fuck that guy, I have a story that might be story of the year and is absolute straight nightmare fuel. Ready?
Okay, go.
Doctors treating a woman in Taiwan with an eye infection found something quite surprising upon closer inspection. They found 4 live bees embedded in the woman's eye, feeding from her tear ducts.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, shit. You bite your knuckles when you hear that. Oh, God, bees in my eye. Alive.
And did she go, there's something. I can't stop scratching. How did
the doctor? The doctor said, I saw something that looked like insect legs. So I pulled them out under a microscope very slowly and one at a time without damaging their bodies. The bees were identified as sweat bees, which of course land on human skin for moisture, hence the term sweat bees.
Oh,
the woman was hiking in the mountains, visiting a family grave, and was bending down to pull some weeds, thought she had sand or dirt in her eye, cleaned her eye out with water, went home, but said she had a recurring stinging pain and her eyes would tear up. She finally went to the doctor, pulled 4 bees out of her eye that were there happily living on and drinking her tears. Holy shit.
Does this stuff ever happen in these United States? It always happens somewhere far, far away.
Yeah, it seems, and I believe it's a true story. Stories usually out of the Far East, Asia, China, Japan, Korea.
Australia. Yeah, someone going to the bathroom found a 50-foot snake in their toilet.
Oh, yeah.
That's Australia story.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Welcome to Australia, mate. Yeah. No, I believe those stories a little bit more. Some of the stories from, say, India or Bangladesh, where it's like villagers said ... And you're like, you go, oh, yeah, villagers. Okay. I'm sure that really happened that way. But that said, that is, imagine that, thinking, like, I would be freaked out for weeks, months, maybe years afterwards that I walked around with four bees living in my eye.
You can't believe, at some point in that first couple of days, you had to go, my eye is killing me.
Right.
There's no way.
Right.
There's,
what the hell's going on here? Oh, there's bees in your... I joked, what if she was one of these really tough women, and maybe she didn't have good insurance. She's like, I'm not going to go see anyone for this. And so she just let it go to the point where a whole beehive had grown on her face.
Oh,
and bees were flying in and out of her face.
I want to believe this, but then I go, at some point, In like a day or a day and a half, you got to go, my eye is really uncomfortable.
You think? Yeah, I would think so. Okay. All right, Jay, it is time for your FTG. I'm going to play the music one more time. Here we go.
I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
Okay, Jay, your turn.
Every person I saw on Twitter Saturday night who said, you can't call that foul there. Really? When the fuck can you call a foul then? I got sick of seeing that every 15 minutes, or every 5 minutes. Oh, you can't make that call there. Oh, you can't make that call. So when can you call that foul? When is it plausible to make that call? To every guy on Twitter who said that, fuck that guy, shut up.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And the cousin to the you can't call that their guy prototype is the, yeah, it was a right call, but I hate to see a game end that way guy. That makes no sense to me. You're saying on one breath, yeah, that was the right call. And then you're lamenting that the right call was made just because it was the end of the game? Makes no fucking sense.
The only call I can football, if they called pass interference on a Hail Mary, I would get upset about that.
Oh, get ready for that with the new rules coming in.
That's true. But the you can't call, and I heard your Ramil Robinson, very true, one of the worst calls ever in NCAA history.
When I looked at it again, Jay, I was horrified. I go, holy shit, is that awful? It was on a pass.
Right, but this was not Ramil Robinson.
No!
No way.
No, absolutely not. All right, Jay, very good. Let's wrap it together, shall we? Thank you for listening. Download, subscribe, comment, and like. Feedback for Jay is always welcome. Jay, you like it when I forward emails to you, people saying, hey, good job, Jay.
Or, fuck you, Jay. Like those
not a lot of those. Not a lot of those, though. But,
I'm sure you get some, though.
Yeah. Anyway, you know Fridays are not free, so tomorrow you're going to have to pay for the Zabe cast. Subscribe to the premium edition by going to zabe.com/premium and send me your feedback, topic suggestions, including your dumb shit like, oh, Richie Rich is running around at the par 3 contest. Fuck off. But tell me to fuck off at zabe@yahoo.com, and I'll make sure to delete your 9-page email in 0.2 seconds. So you'll have wasted your time. All right, Jay. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.